let's step away from Boston and go to Beijing and then back to Boston again, because that's roughly the itinerary that WBUR's Asma Khalid followed. She leads our station's business and technology team, Bostonomics, and she recently went to China on a whirlwind 10-day trip, and we want to hear all about it. So hi there, Asma.
Hey, Meghna.
All right, so China, one of the biggest, fastest growing economies in the world. Giant power.
Mm-hmm.
What is most relevant, or what did you sort of take your, what did you see through your Boston lens when you were there?
Yeah, so Meghna, you know probably that I've been reporting on robotics and on automation here in Boston, and I realized in some of my conversations that there are really fascinating and sometimes intimate links in this industry between Boston and Beijing, and not just Beijing, but other cities as well. And a couple of months ago, I heard about this unusual venture capital firm in Cambridge called InTeahouse. Pretty much everyone who works there is Chinese. Its mission is to foster tech collaboration between Boston and China. It was founded a couple of years ago by a woman whose name is Xin Lu. She's this petite, really energetic woman who's lived most of her life in China. And she told me that this firm is focused on building relationships between Boston and China, specifically in the life sciences, clean tech, and robotics. They're essentially trying to connect local entrepreneurs with markets and money in China.
We build the connector, is a connection with local entrepreneurs and the international investor. If you need to raise money, if you need to fund the market, if you need to fund the partner in China factory, we help you.
That's everything, she says. They'll help them find factories, partners locally in China. And last October, they took about a dozen local robotics companies on a trade mission to China. She told me this Saturday, they're actually taking a whole nother bunch of robotics companies as well.
Okay, so are some of those companies or any Boston-based robotic companies making inroads in China?
There are. I spoke to a few that actually went on this trip to China. I think for a lot of them, this was a new market to explore.
I see.
But before I went to China, I sat down with Rod Brooks. He's the CEO of a relatively new robotics company called Rethink Robotics. It designs this arm that can be used in manufacturing facilities. He told me he started shipping to China just last year. And I asked him why. You know, what was the appeal in branching out to China?
We saw that there was a labor shortage in China, and electronics manufacturing was not going to move away from China, no matter what anyone says. So we went to where the market is now.
Okay, so Rod Brooks, Rodney Brooks.
Correct.
Yeah,
Director of MIT
C-Sale. One of the fathers of robotics. So not just the new robotics company.
His company is really interesting. Okay. And to me, like, what's interesting about them, too, is, like, you know, you're right. Rod Brooks is this legendary man in robotics, right? So everybody knows him in China who's working in this industry. But for me, what was interesting is for him entering the Chinese market in this way in sort of a commercial aspect seemed relatively new.
Yeah. You know? Well, and so I should say what he said in that piece of tape that you just played for us is really interesting. That they're seeing a labor shortage in China, and there's an opportunity for robotics there?
So, Meghna, this is something I heard repeated by almost everyone I spoke to in China, and people would point to a couple of reasons why they would say that the one-child policy means that the average 18-year-old, that sort of the number of 18-year-olds has been declining the last couple of years. Some people also spoke to me about mandatory retirement. So, you know, here, if I go into a manufacturing facility, I often see people in their mid-50s.
Uh-huh.
That's not the case, and I visited a few different factories in China. You see people who are 20, 21, they're really young.
Wow. Okay, so tell us more. Where did you go then and more about what you saw?
Sure. So I started in Beijing, where I attended the World Robot Conference. It's really unlike anything I have ever seen. There were thousands of people there, researchers, you know, company execs, but a lot of kids as well, because on the periphery there are robot contests for these kids. there were lectures. It was just this really sort of dramatic scene, right? And I actually want to play you just a bit of the intro music because it will help you understand what I'm trying to say. In Freeman in Chinese. It's this sort of sense of how important the robotics industry is. They went on to explain how this is really the future and how they, you know, need to invest in this industry. And there was this massive expo hall with robots of any sort you could imagine. I mean, there was literally a life-size robotic version of the Chinese basketball star Yao Ming. And it was here at this expo that I actually spotted a booth.
Wait, did you just say there was a life-size robot Yao Ming?
It was one of those normal things that you saw so many.
Okay.
But it was also, Meghna, here at this expo that I saw a booth for Boston-based Rethink Robotics. Tina Tang is a woman who works for their local distributor in China. And she said, you know, they have a few of these robots at Foxconn and at Amazon locally there. But she said it's also been a little tough because there are quite a few domestic Chinese robot companies that are popping up. And she also talked to me about this plan called Made in China 2025. I don't know if you've heard of this, but a couple of years ago, China's president Xi Jinping announced that essentially as a way to encourage advanced manufacturing in the country, China was going to invest heavily in AI and automation. It's essentially a government mandate, and the government is pouring millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, into this. And so Tina Tang talked to me a bit about what that means for Rethink Robotics.
Generally speaking, the Made in China 2025 policy is good, because we have more opportunities to be exposed to the public. But comparatively speaking, because Rethink is a foreign brand, it won't get the same strong support from the government as the local brands. Every year, there are hundreds of robotic companies emerging. The best ones win, the bad ones are abandoned.
So, Meghna, she actually speaks in Chinese, so you'll hear I had a translator there.
Yeah. And so you also went to Shanghai.
That's right. And there I was actually looking at something that I would say you saw apparent, not just from the conference, but pretty much everywhere. And that is that the country is really undergoing a robot revolution. There are companies there that are on a mission to become fully automated. And so in Shanghai, I met Jerry Wong. He spent years here in Boston at MIT, did his PhD from here. But around 2000, he moved back to China to start his own telecoms company.
The manufacturing companies in China is really more and more facing the pressure of the labor costs. It's getting difficult to competing with lower cost factories in like Southeast Asia.
Fascinating.
I know, right? Because everybody here talks about how presumably it is so much cheaper for companies to do their business in China. And then here you have a guy from Shanghai who's saying that, well, for them, labor costs have been increasing. And he told me that he pays his workers about $1,000 a month, which is just really high. The cost has been increasing exponentially every year. But it's also what we heard before from Rod Brooks, who spent years at MIT. He says that essentially it's just that there aren't enough people in the labor pool and he can't even find enough folks. Yeah. To do the jobs that he has.
So in the last couple seconds that we have, Asma, this is absolutely fascinating because, of course, you know, here in the United States, Massachusetts is a major center of robotics. We're a leading creator of new robotic technologies. So what were the biggest takeaways for you from what you saw in China for Massachusetts?
So, Meghna, I would say that in a nutshell, it's just the idea that nationalism and automation are intimately connected, right? It's a public policy. And I felt like when I was in China, there's this vision of a space race when it comes to automation and robotics, except really they're in the race. And at times, you know, with the exception maybe of Boston, the greater United States doesn't always see it as a race.
Wow. Well, that's Asma Khalid. She leads WBUR's Bostonomics team, talking to us about what she saw on a recent trip to China. You'll hear more of her reporting on that on WBUR. Asma, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.